With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Screen Heroes, episode 127. I am Derek, one of your regular weekly hosts.
I am Ray, the other one.
The other one?
One of the other ones.
And then we have Ryan,
the irregular weekly host, with the most. I keep telling myself that. What's up?
Well, if you followed our schedule, you will realize that this is not going to be our review of Hero. That will be next week, a little bit of a scheduling change. So we are doing
our Rewrite It. We have been rewriting the DCEU as uncomplicated, unconvoluted, detangled superhero stories instead of the hot messes we've gotten so far. Right now, we've done Man of Steel and BVS, just changing the inconsistencies, getting rid of the huge issues that we've had with them, and our rewrite has led us to a tangent. We've decided to go to Justice League Dark as the third DCEU live action film. Now, back way, way, way in the day, episode 18 of Screen Heroes, I listened to it last night. This is how Ryan wanted it to be. He did not want Suicide Squad next, and he even said this way back then. So this just happened to be some fun coincidence.
It just happened to work out. I promise I didn't remember that and plan this.
Right.
sure.
It's very cool serendipity that it happened. I love it. So back then we fan casted, and the first few minutes of our podcast after our new segment will be us going through the fan cast and deciding on one solid cast before we continue on. And then we'll be writing a movie from scratch, really.
Yeah, we're not going to actually, like, write the full script.
I mean,
but we're going to, I mean, if you want to, I wish you would let me know, but I can probably come up with it off the top of my head.
I know.
But no, we're just going to, the basic plot points of the movie and where, I guess, the direction of our DCEU is going. Because apparently the trajectory is way off.
It's totally
from
off.
The
Who
actual
knows where
DCEU.
We're
going to
end up.
Yeah.
Maybe movie four will be Blackest Night or something ridiculous.
Oh, gosh.
Involves like a trilogy all of its own.
Yeah, or what's the one where all the different universes come together and fight each other?
Oh, yeah, Convergence.
That's what it'll be for our fourth movie.
Convergence, so we can just make everything canon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a smart move, DC. That was a smart move.
Right.
Yeah. So before we get into that, there's very little news
to
discuss.
That's good, because we probably have a lot to say about the Justice
League. Yeah, because we don't want another hour and a half long podcast.
No, we've gone long like 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So first, Disney Fox news. So that acquisition, of course, is continuing to move forward unless the FCC says otherwise.
Which they probably won't.
Which they probably won't, given the current FCC. And basically, Disney has announced that any completed Fox films will get released, mainly because Disney is not one to just literally set money on fire. So if a movie's done, it'll go out there. The big thing, though, is that we're definitely expecting 20th Century Fox to be downsized pretty heavily here. And there's a report that basically says, quote, Fox's movie studio is expected to be significantly downsized once the deal is complete. Disney will likely take over Fox's two biggest film franchises, Avatar and the X-Men, and scale back production of costly movies that don't fit its family-friendly, franchise-focused formula.
It's a lot of Fs.
So, yeah, right? So, that's
namely, Deadpool.
No, they specifically, Bob Iger, I think, specifically said that Deadpool is not going anywhere.
That's good.
I mean,
but
as
if
a character,
they make them PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that,
The
I suppose.
Ryan Reynolds Deadpool, I would imagine, will be done after X-Force.
Okay. I don't think so. I think that thing makes a ton of money for them. So I don't, and I, like you said, Disney is not one to just throw away money.
Well,
they're just not, but might not put the Disney like castle before the movie, you know?
That's the thing, right? If they want to, they'd have to spin up a separate production studio. But there are other concerns, like the Predator franchise, for example, is a very dark, R-rated kind of thing. But it
hasn't really had a lot of good movies lately, so...
Well, the new one comes out next month, so I guess we'll have to wait and see, right? But it's a franchise that's survived 30 years.
But we did get some beef from the last one that Rachel liked. You know, some beefy
Adrian Brody. Brody. There's a throwback for you.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that really got her her heat vision yeah. going. If you don't catch my drift,
definitely.
So yeah, so we'll have to kind of see what's going to happen there. But I imagine that 20th Century Fox's franchises that they own rights to may even get sold off at some point down the road if they're not used.
I think that for the most part, it's probably not going to change as much as people think it's going to. I mean, most people don't know what's a 20th Century Fox property and what isn't, or a Disney property. So people aren't going to like go, what? Disney's releasing a Predator movie? Because
yeah.
Disney, I mean, they might be the, you know, upper echelon, but nobody, you know, unless the internet makes a big deal about it, nobody's going to know.
I think in the 21st century social media verse that we have, people definitely know what's branded DC.
The biggest movie going group of people aren't going to know and aren't going to really care. I'd say like us
maybe,
and like our friends, but
Disney has been careful for a reason, you know, and they know the industry better than we do. I would hope.
Yeah.
So then the other piece of news is Tessa Thompson will be voicing the lady in the Lady and the Tramp remake. That's cute.
Yeah, I think that's adorable. I think that's fantastic.
So there's that. There's a couple other casting things as well. Ben Schwartz from Parks and Rec, who plays John Raffio, will be voicing Sonic the Hedgehog in next year's Sonic live-action film that also stars Jim Carrey.
There's somebody else I thought that got cast this week too, and that I was like, wow, they're really like shooting for the stars on this one.
This is a big deal for Sega. Yeah, they haven't done they've never done a live action movie, and it's been a while since they've had any Sonic content that wasn't a video game. So
I don't know, those cartoons were pretty sick, bro.
Yeah, but it's been a little while.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah,
they weren't actually that good. That was being sarcastic.
Oh well, they might have been. I like the Super Mario Brothers 3 show.
Didn't Jaleel White play Sonic?
I think so. I don't remember. Honestly, it's been a little while. It was like 97 or something.
That was a while ago. Yeah. So that's pretty much it for news.
James Gunn, with the Disney departure, supposedly Warner Brothers is eyeing him. How big of a kick to the balls would that be if DC had him make a Booster Gold and Blue Beetle movie? You know,
sure.
That would be. He would do a great job of the Booster Gold movie. I'm just going to say, but that would be like straight up, you know, challenging Marvel at that point.
I mean, there's a lot of rumors flying around, people saying that Marvel Studios is trying to talk Disney out of it and
right.
having him reinstated, but Disney is not interested in bringing him back, or they're negotiating terms of using his script, but David Bautista will quit if they don't use his script, and yeah.
He didn't say he quit. He said he was not interested if they didn't use James Gunn's script, which means to me that he's going to phone in the performance, not quit, because I don't think he has, like, Disney contract-breaking money yet.
I mean, I don't know. It definitely made it sound like he's not interested doing it without James Gunn as director, and if they don't use his script, he's walking, is what that really sounded like to me.
I think
like
that would be huge, especially from a guy that doesn't have Disney contract-breaking money. That would say a lot about the situation.
It does. It does. And I mean, you know, with Infinity, Avengers 4, you know, they could write out characters pretty easily if they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know.
But that movie's already pretty much in the can.
Well, I mean, there's some
reshoots.
There's,
stuff,
you know, post-production and reshoots and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, if they make a decision quickly enough, they can resolve it.
That's true. That's true.
Just throw on a post-credit scene
where Thanos just crushes Dave Bautista's skull. Not even Drax, just Dave Bautista.
God, jeez. They'll just bring in Deadpool to take care of it.
There you go.
Anyway, any other news? Anything else?
I don't believe so.
MoviePass is a dumpster fire, so we'll move on from that.
Yeah, Derek never wants to go an episode without mentioning MoviePass until they are completely under the ground.
Every time he mentions it, they get worse the very next week.
True. Yeah, exactly. At this rate, they will actually be the ones leading hell because they'll be so far underground.
Fantastic.
Satan will be gone.
Yeah.
MoviePass will be there. You have to sign up $10 a month and you can't quit. That's the hell that we will live in.
But you can't actually see any movies.
Right, exactly. Well, you get to see movies, but they're not your choice.
See, now it's funny that you mentioned that because that is basically what's happened. Is you only get two movies a day. You don't get to choose what they are. They're different every day. And people who have been trying to cancel are getting re-signed up automatically. So you're spot on.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But all right, so Ray, take us into our main topic here.
All right, so let's rewrite it. I'm going to give everybody a quick summarization of our past two films. We did Man of Steel first, and then BVS. Man of Steel pretty much ended with Zod still being killed. However, Krypton was completely removed. Most of the fighting took place in Smallville in cornfields to reduce a ton of the destruction. However, Metropolis was still in shambles, and Superman was seen picking up wreckage.
Not making out with Lois.
Yes. Our after credit scene has Lex picking up a green rock. In BVS, we wanted to do a tighter timeline, so instead of it being 2 years later, it is only one. Kryptonite was found in Metropolis instead of this weird island. There is no Africa scene, wherever that took place, Wakanda. Lex is not Lex Jr. He's just Lex. He is bald and he is more charming and charismatic.
And there's no Jolly Rancher scene.
No Jolly Rancher scene.
We instead made it Laffy Taffy.
That way you could tug it a little.
Exactly. Oh. We get extra, extra.
How did we find a way to make that work?
I don't know. It's the weirdest scene. No.
What's the entire movie? What's that dipping stick thing? That would make it worse if he pulls it out and re-dips it. Yeah.
Or he licked it first and then gave it the senator.
That would be worse.
It's the weirdest scene in the entire movie.
It's the weirdest scene of several franchises. Like, I can think of a lot of franchises and I can't think of a lot of weirder scenes than that.
It's fair.
We did show that Superman was not completely regarded as a hero that a lot of people put him under scrutinization. So there was constant, not attacks from the media, because I hate that term. It's kind of gotten blown out of proportion under our current administration. But just, you know, a lot of reviews on Superman on media. A lot of people for him, a lot of people against him. He was a very divisive figure. We removed all references to Aquaman, Flash, and Cyborg. Ryan wanted to remove Wonder Woman completely. We vetoed that. So Gal stated.
Sorry, Ryan.
There was no change in the casting. We kept everybody cast who they are. And then the end credit scene is 3 months later with Batman inspecting the explosion which caused Barry's power.
That's where we left off?
That's
what was
where
our post-credit scene?
Oh my god. Wonder Woman is in Greece getting drunk. I don't know. We didn't have a post. We didn't have
scene.
A second. We just had the one.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. So you wanted to go over our casting.
All right. So Justice League, just to review, from Justice League Dark.
And this was episode 18. You
episode said? 18 of Screen Heroes.
Okay.
It's
a long time ago.
So our guaranteed in this film, I think we can agree, we're gonna have Constantine, Zatanna, Swamp Thing, Dead Man, and Madame Xanadu. All the others those were the ones that all of us cast. All the other characters were additional, and we can discuss them as they come up.
And so I think, just to be clear, that we want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. We're not doing what Marvel do with the MCU. We're basically doing a Justice League movie where none of the characters have any backstory going into it. These are all new characters.
Right.
So I would personally say that the less characters, the better. And we just
stick
with those.
Then I say we stick with our five.
So Well, we'll get to this when we start talking about the movie, I guess. But so you want to go over the casting.
Okay, so for Constantine, the two of you picked Matt Ryan. I picked Tom Hardy. At the time, there was rumor that Ewan McGregor was attached to it. Since you guys picked a television actor and DC has no precedent for bringing their television actors to the big screen, I think we pass on Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan has been in DC movies.
On the animated ones.
Yeah, but sure, I mean, that's still the big screen.
Sure thing.
They played those on the big screen.
No, they don't.
I have
a pretty big TV.
You guys didn't really like Tom Hardy. So I think the safest bet here is to go for Ewan McGregor.
I think my problem with Tom Hardy is as Constantine, you have to see his face. And
Tom Hardy.
And you have to be able to understand him. And he's already hard to understand without trying to do a Constantine accent. So.
There's a rider in Tom Hardy's contract that his face has to be obscured for 60% of the film. So.
That's fair.
You know,
well, the cigarette smoke count, because that's Constantine might be able to do it.
I like it. So McGregor's an interesting pick. I never would have occurred to me to put him in that role.
He was Del Toro's original pick and the only actor he had tapped before Del Toro exited the project.
I guess if he's good enough for Del Toro.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, sure, if that's what you guys want. I'm not that big of a fan of that casting, but it's whatever.
Well, is there a fourth choice that's not listed?
The guy that played Purple Man in Jessica Jones.
David Tennant?
Yeah, I think he would do a good, just off the top of my head, I think he'd be a good Constantine. He has an interesting, like, thin build for it. He can do accents, obviously, because he has a natural accent.
He is very Scottish.
I know the TV work that he's done. Has he done movies?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I really only know him from TV.
But, like, the actress that played movies. Katana hasn't ever been in anything before.
Right.
That's true.
You know, they're not crazy. Okay. Or it's not crazy to think they could do that.
I'm good with that pick.
David Tennant?
It seems more realistic than McGregor.
Really?
McGregor's just a very different personality. I just see him as a much happier person. And
I don't think he could pull off, like, sleazeball, can he? I've never seen Split.
You guys need to see Trainspotting.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen Trainspotting either. Sorry. It wasn't him in Split, was it?
No, it was James McAvoy. James McAvoy would be
that would be an interesting choice, too. Yeah, he'd do all right.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
He'd kind of be like his Atomic Blonde character, I guess.
I never saw that either, so.
Oh, okay. I mean, personality-wise, I feel like he'd be his Atomic Blonde character.
Yeah, and that would be fun.
That's kind of cool.
I could go with that.
Let's do James McAvoy.
I do like McAvoy.
Okay, James McAvoy is playing our Constantine.
Okay.
So, Zatanna, Derek had Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Ryan, you poor bastard, you had Amber Heard and Lauren Cohen.
I know.
And I had Olivia Wilde.
I'm really good at casting for the DC universe, apparently. I'm actually fine with either of those choices, so I'm not much help. I would say that, like, personally, I'm a bigger fan of Derek's pick.
Then let's do Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead is somebody I'm more familiar with.
We could keep Olivia Wilde for Madame Xanadu later on.
I love Olivia Wilde, so I'd be totally cool with seeing her in something.
Like Tron? Legacy?
Yeah, like another Tron would be great as Korra. That'd be pretty sweet. I would love that.
Didn't she die in the last one?
In Tron Legacy? That's the only one she's in? No, she does not die. She leaves the grid.
For Swamp Thing, Derek cast Matt Loria, and I think it's because he was stuck, and so he just went with the first actor that popped up on IMDb.
That's probably rude.
It's probably accurate, though.
I don't remember how I came up with him, but I always put in more work than that for our fan castings.
I came up with Andy Serkis because I wanted the entire thing mocap. And Ryan did Ron Perlman because he wanted half and half.
Yeah.
I think we should go with Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Although the DC doesn't really have a precedent for practical effects, but... Oh, I guess they did Killer Croc and they won an Oscar for it.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Oscar-winning film, The Suicide Squad.
That's right. The Oscar-winning Suicide Squad.
Yeah. The most well-awarded DC movie.
Oh, that's something we didn't talk about. Let me write this down and you talk about
the Oscar
that.
I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. So we have to go back to our news segment here. The Academy Awards will be bringing a new category into the mix this next year. Best popular movie.
This is just an excuse to give Marvel a trophy.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think this is incredibly condescending.
It's very pandering.
This isn't that they want
to
give...
people to watch the show.
They want people to watch the awards. And it's not that they're trying to do Disney any favors here. It's that they still don't want to give Best Picture to sci-fi fantasy genre flicks. They don't want to do that. Right? So no matter how good a movie is, Black Panther, Infinity War, however you feel about those, it doesn't matter because the Academy doesn't want to give Best Picture, Director, Actor to those types of films.
I made the point the other day when we were talking about it that the Academy has definitely been missing categories, but that was not one of them. It's stunts. Stunts hasn't ever been recognized, and they're complicated and well-coordinated and dangerous, and they should be recognized. But
nope.
Forget that.
Look, the Academy doesn't recognize mocap. It doesn't recognize creature actors, you know, like a Doug Jones type, you know, it's all practical. That's not what they're interested in. All right? They're interested in Dunkirk. That's what they're interested in.
Which is why Christopher Nolan stopped making superhero films, started making, you know, Inception and Interstellar and Dunkirk.
And the outlier is Heath Ledger's, you know, win for The Dark Knight. But, I mean,
but there's arguments that could be made about that. That was not necessarily deserved.
Well, because I think if he hadn't have died, I don't think he would have even been nominated necessarily, let alone winning the award.
I truly believe that they thought they messed up by not giving it to him for Brokeback because nobody wanted to recognize Brokeback as a great film because of how controversial it was, which it shouldn't have been controversial.
It won Best Adapted Screenplay, if I remember
right. It
did,
but it was nominated for like 13 awards and won one.
Yeah.
Like so, every single one of their leads was nominated for something, so that's disappointing.
So basically this category is going to be like the superhero flick category, right?
Yeah,
like,
Transformers,
there may be some Fantastic Beasts, like those types of movies, right? And it's a little frustrating because it's basically saying, well, these movies made a ton of money, but we don't really care about them, so we'll give them an award category.
An arbitrary
so
award,
shut up. Yeah, I mean, it's a frustrating thing. I find it incredibly condescending, and if anything, a step back, because rather than recognizing films for being any good, they've just decided to put them off to the side permanently.
I've stopped tuning in to it anyway, so I'm probably still going to continue. Yeah. I don't really, that one category isn't enough to make me want to, like, you know, tune in and watch a film I really like win. Because it's a meaningless award at this point anyway, so.
I watch the Academy Awards usually just because I am interested in the movie industry and I'm curious to see the speeches and that type of thing. But this is not a step in a good direction for the Academy.
Right. Well, their ratings have been dropping, and so they shortened the show this year to 3 hours, I think they said.
Yeah.
Sure. And, it's always overtime.
Added that category, so.
It's always overtime. I mean, part of it is it's still directed at older generations of moviegoers, and the majority of people who are watching are not. They're younger, and they're the ones who are going to the theater. That's why these movies make $1 billion, $2 billion, because the younger generations are going to see them. And I'm not necessarily saying that because a movie makes a lot of money, it deserves Best Picture. I'm not saying
no, but obviously there's a large contingent of people that think that there's something good in that movie. And,
yes.
You know, probably deserves to be recognized.
I think it's only fair that if, you know, 600 million people see one film, and then there's another film that ran for 3 weeks at only one art house in the United States, but it gets nominated. Like, that is an unfair balance.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten to the point where half the films that are nominated for Best Picture, I don't even hear of until they're nominated. It's not that I chose not to see them. It's that I didn't even know.
Well, the awards are in February, and those movies only come out in December, like, just so
they
can. A lot
of them do, yeah.
So, it's very pandering.
So, all right, so back, we got Ron Perlman as Swamp Thing.
Yes. Next up is Dead Man. Derek and I chose Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Ryan chose Zachary Quinto. I think both of those are really fantastic casting, so I don't care either way.
I stand by mine.
Here, I love both of these actors.
Right.
But I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt looks better bald.
I think that Zachary Quinto has better facial structure, thinner, more gaunt features that suit Dead Man better.
And that's interesting. That's interesting.
I don't think I've ever seen him bald, so I can't really speak
to
that.
No, I don't think he's been bald in a role. I don't know. I just, in my head, Deadman's not as big of a guy. Quinto's kind of a bigger guy. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's a smaller guy.
Like, height?
Well, just, like, broader. Like, Quinto's a broader guy.
He doesn't have to be. He could lose weight and be more gaunt. I mean, that's not...
I mean, I guess if he's...
A lot of actors do that.
Well, some actors do that.
Okay.
Christian Bale does that.
Yeah.
You know.
Other actors, I know it's hard to believe, other actors have lost weight for roles too, Darren.
Of course. Of course.
Especially female actors, because they're required to, apparently.
At the moment, we're not talking about any women. We're talking about Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zachary Quinto. Ray?
I'm
who's presenting the better argument here?
I like the facial feature argument that you made. I think having Zachary Quinto go from Spock to Deadman would be incredibly polarizing too. We've seen him as Spock over the last 10 years, so,
and his stocky build can be hidden. I mean, he's gonna be wearing a costume.
He's
you
still
can
a superhero. He doesn't need to be stick thin,
like... No, but I mean, Deadman is kind of like a thinner,
he's not
gaunt,
he's got
character.
Abs and
he does,
like...
But he's not like Batman's build, you
he's
know what
not.
I mean. Of course, neither is Zachary Quinto. Neither is any living human, but
except for Ben Affleck.
No, not even Ben Affleck.
I think we should go with Zachary Quinto.
Okay.
So next up is Madame Xanadu, and Ryan and I had Monica Bellucci. Derek had Catherine Zeta-Jones. Now, the issue is both of them have retired from acting since the last time we did this.
So, Olivia Wilde it is.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Right. Did we forget anybody?
No, that is our cast. We also had Amethyst, Dr. Fate, Clarion the Witch Boy, Felix Faust, Abby Arcane, and Frankenstein. Since we wanted to keep the cast short and small because of the size of this film, we do not have to include any of those.
We could save some of those for Justice League Dark Part 2.
A rainy day.
Yeah.
A standalone
Electric
Dr. Fate
Boogaloo
film.
No, probably not.
Yeah, definitely.
He can't really carry his own film.
Now, before we move on, which characters from BVS are we bringing over?
So I think that we have to start getting into, like, plot.
Yes.
What we want to do for the plot. And my pitch for that was, I think what they did with the Justice League Dark animated was probably the best way to introduce all these new characters into this universe. Because in that, they hadn't really been seen before either in the animated universe,
no.
I don't think. So they had to do the same type of thing. Now, we could do it shot for shot and carry over Batman. But I personally thought Batman added very little to the animated movie.
I agree with that.
So either we would need to make his role better, or we replace him with Wonder Woman, who has precedent with Justice League Dark, and I think could be a more interesting dynamic than what Batman brought to the table. And I do think it would be funny to watch Constantine hit on Wonder Woman and get shut down.
I mean, I like the idea of using Wonder Woman because, you know, she's in our version of BVS, but still doesn't have, like, a lead role.
No.
Right? This would give her a chance to have more screen
time.
She's
been introduced
right
already, but just not, like, had her own. Yeah, exactly.
I agree. My main issue with the DC animated films is Batman seems to be the linchpin
in everything.
Every single one of them, even the ones where he doesn't really make sense in being in. So he's kind of like their crutch, and I didn't want to make Batman our crutch.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of moving on to Wonder Woman. The only thing I would say is that maybe Wonder Woman's solo film isn't our next film then.
Well, we can figure that out.
Right.
We'll see how this episode goes. I do think that we would have to figure out, like, how she knows the Justice League Dark, because in the animated movie, if you remember, Batman is inhabited by Deadman.
Yes.
And he makes him say Constantine. And Batman knows Zatanna,
mm-hmm,
and goes to Zatanna and says, hey, do you know Constantine?
I think it's very likely that she would know somebody like Madame Xanadu.
You think so?
I think so.
I feel like, I don't know. I guess we haven't done her origin yet in the DCEU, in our DCEU.
And we can play
so
around with this. They definitely have played around with origins before. We don't have to keep things the same. They would get tampered with if they go from page to screen. So just
Maybe she went to high school with Zatanna or something. Just kidding.
Well,
they
I guess...
they met each other on the Facebook page for the Justice League.
So here's my big question. Who is the villain? What is the antagonist?
What is the end goal?
Yeah. Maybe that helps us figure out why it all ties together then.
Well, I mean, do we want to keep it like the animated, or do we want to change it up and go for a different Justice League Dark villain?
Yeah. Says Ryan as he opens up his notes.
There are some really great pitches that we did last time. You had the Justice League Dark fight the Justice League.
Which would be really awesome, but that would probably, at this point, since we haven't introduced the Justice League, it would have to be
It'd
more
be
like
very
for
weird.
The sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had Felix Faust take control of Nobu in Dr. Fate's helmet, and
that's a lot to introduce
yes,
in a movie.
It totally
although
is.
I mean, so is Destiny. Like,
so is Steppenwolf.
I would
love to see Dr. Fate involved, but I do feel like that might be a little too much.
I think Dr. Fate is better as a side character. Rather than like a main villain or
well,
a main,
he's always uses this like deus ex machina to come out and save the day and then be gone.
Yeah, it's
like,
a plot. He's a plot
he's
device. Is all he is usually. I don't think having him as a main hero or a main villain is necessarily the best idea. But I mean, I like the character, so if we can find a way to make it work, I'm for it. But
so here's our opportunity to bring Black Adam in,
right? And there is precedent with the Justice League Dark for dealing with Black Adam. And actually, at one point, Constantine took Shazam's powers.
I love this idea. I
but
am totally on board.
Introduced Shazam.
But, but you don't have to, right? The thing is, you could have Black Adam show up first, and the Justice League has to deal with him. And maybe that leads to a teaser for Shazam, because the gods need somebody out
Our
there.
Our end credit could be Shazam.
And we can still cast Zachary Levi because he's just a treasure.
He's a
yeah, we're all very happy with him.
You know, but that could be our teaser, right? So we can even keep The Rock as Black Adam.
Oh yeah, why change? Like,
right?
I was thinking John Cena, but if you guys want The Rock, then that's fine too.
So The Rock. So we have Black. I think it's Black Adam. I think that we do Black Adam, and I think because
there's I'm on board for
some pseudo Greek esque origin there. That's how you could kind of bring Deanna into knowing who that is.
Deanna, like Deanna from marketing, like.
Diana. I've been watching a lot of Star Trek. Diana. Deanna Troi. Yes, this is my big Star Trek
Deanna
crossover.
Prince, yeah.
See, Patrick Stewart.
I am doing a Deanna Prince. Or Diana Troi. Like, whatever you want to call
Diana. I think this would be...
That red and white and blue bodysuit's happening.
That's a good way, though, I think, to bring her into it.
Yes.
Okay. So instead of her seeking out the Justice League Dark, maybe the Justice League Dark is searching out her.
No.
You can't really do that because then you still need her because she's the only character you know. So.
I think she's seeking out the Justice League Dark because she's trying to figure out who Black Adam is.
Well, maybe Black Adam's motives. We need to come up with that. Hit multiple people. Maybe his actions have repercussions in two separate ponds. And because of that, Wonder Woman and Zatanna figure out that they are going after the same guy and choose to team up.
Yeah. I think that works.
I'm okay with that.
So what are his actions? What are his motives?
Well, I mean, he's obviously very powerful. You know, maybe he is trying to... Maybe he steals Nobu. You don't have to actually have Dr. Fate.
Just need his helmet.
Just the helmet, right? And that way you could always bring Dr. Fate in a future film. You've already seen the helmet. You're like, oh, it's that thing, right? But
we can also cast Kent. He's always like this elderly man. We can just have an unsuspecting man named Kent.
Gonna be
Kent.
Patrick Stewart?
Yes! Done.
You're welcome, Derek.
This is the best movie ever.
We have never written anything better.
I've had some pretty good pitches, I'm going to say, but...
Collectively.
Look, your Disney Princess one was the best so
right?
far.
And Mario?
But this is pretty fantastic.
All right, so Black Adam is he's... Does he already have? Does he steal Nobu at the beginning of the movie?
Yeah, I think he does it at the beginning.
Okay,
but why does the audience care about Nobu getting stolen?
Well, okay, so
because it's never been introduced. It's this.
They
it's
don't
a MacGuffin.
Care at all.
But she does. Diana cares, right? And so it's something that's stolen from some highly secure.
Doesn't she work at a
exactly?
Yes. So maybe she...
that was the Wonder Woman movie, though. So
it doesn't matter. It's one scene. Like it's not like. There was no explanation. She was just there.
Over.
Yeah, she was just there. Yeah, it's her job. She has a job.
Okay, right. So Diana works at a museum. And in the very opening scene, Black Adam steals that. Huge explosions, like just...
lightning bolts.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cool black suit.
He just goes in and destroys stuff because he doesn't care. It's not his property. He's the dictator of conduct.
Who are we hiring as the prop builder for this? Because I think Buster Props does some really good Shazam work.
Yeah, that's not Black Adam.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Let's get back to it. Sorry,
anyway,
I didn't interrupt.
He steals the helmet, and Diana is pissed about that. She goes into work the next day, everything's destroyed, and this priceless blah, blah, blah. And she doesn't necessarily know why it's amazing, but she knows that it doesn't belong to him. The more she discovers about Black Adam, the more she dislikes him, you know. She finds out that he's the dictator in Khandaq and that he treats his people very poorly and things like that. Now, Zatanna, on the other hand, knows exactly what that helmet does and is scared because now it's in the hands of this tyrant. So how do we get the two of them to meet?
Well, they just need to be investigating somewhere relatively... you know, public where they could get to, but not immediately start fighting each other, right? Because they don't know who each other is, so that, you know, they would immediately see that person as a threat, I would imagine.
Possibly.
Yeah, so maybe Zatanna casts a spell to... because, I mean, obviously, this is not a Wonder Woman movie. This is a Justice League Dark movie, so I think that if that was to come to blows, even though there's a pretty...
what
you
if
could
Zatanna
debate,
could...
but Zatanna would cast a spell to, like, lock her down or something. And
what if Zatanna
and
could repel the Lasso of Truth? Not, like, stop it, because that there is no person that can, like, stop it, but just, like, she repels
maybe.
It or
I
something.
Mean, anything to show that she's, in this movie, more powerful than Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman is probably underestimating
Barry Allen says that Zatanna's the most powerful member of the Justice League, so.
So she could cast, like, she has that, I can't remember what the ability is called, but she can basically cast, like, a shadow over everything, right? And so, like, it's all blocked out, and it's just the two of them.
Could you please
room.
Give that pitch backwards?
I cannot do that.
Okay.
I
was just curious.
If I did, I'd have to.
I'd be
you.
Sold on whatever you said if you did that.
So she has to prove that she's very powerful. Diana, of course, wants to fight because that's kind of in her nature. But what's going to happen that makes the two of them not come to blows? We need something that triggers that.
Martha.
It's not productive.
No, but that's what our audience wants to hear.
Oh, I have an interesting idea.
Okay.
So what if they do fight and Zatanna just kicks Diana's ass?
Because Diana hasn't fought magic before.
Right. And Diana's trying to figure out who she is, and maybe Bruce tells her. Like, not in person. You don't have to see him, right? We don't have to actually show Batfleck. But they could be corresponding like they do in the beginning of and end of Wonder Woman.
So he just sends her an email?
She could be messaging, you know, him and things like that, and he explains who she is because he knows. And maybe there's some, you know, little flashback or something.
That's cute. I'd be okay if there was a flashback.
Could it be a flashback where Ben Affleck is hitting on Zatanna? Because
I would love,
that would,
I would
give
think that's
him a
really
bit
cute.
Of character development, too.
I would think that was cute.
I mean, it's quick exposition that gives Diana
it'd
a
be like the Suicide Squad, like, cameo for Batman, where
exactly.
It's 2 minutes of the movie, you get to see Batman...
And that's
know,
it.
That's it. Yeah.
It's just quick. That's who Zatanna is. You can trust her. Let's move on. That way we don't spend half the movie with them trying to figure out why they're on the same side.
Absolutely. I'm good with that. Okay, so let's move on. How do we bring the other guys in?
Well, so once Diana knows that she can trust Zatanna, she has to somehow get a hold of her, right? So Bruce gives her some way to do that, you know. The bat beeper and gets a hold of Zatanna, but Zatanna doesn't come alone because she thinks Diana's still up for a fight. It's a trap or something like that because they just fought each other. So maybe she comes with somebody. Is that where you want to introduce?
I don't know. I feel like somewhere in here would be a good place for Dead Man to take somebody over.
Yes.
And, I don't know, do something plot related. Because we've seen...
What if Dead Man takes Zatanna over?
But why... I mean, they're working together, so I don't know why he would... you know what I mean? Plot-wise, why he would do that.
Because maybe they're not working together.
But...
At this time. Like, he should be, but I don't know.
So far, we really only have Zatanna and Diana. So who is he going to take over?
Nobody really there.
Right? That's why I think maybe Constantine. Zatanna shows up with Constantine. Because he's pretty powerful in his own right. You know, and that's her backup.
Or maybe Zatanna wants to only meet in a public place because she knows that, you know, it could be a trap or whatever. And Dead Man's like inhabiting, like really, you know, kind of like when Paul Rudd was playing Michelle Pfeiffer. Like something like that where it's really obvious that this person is not acting the normal way. But, you know.
That could be a very fun scene.
Right. It would add a little bit of levity to what is already a pretty DC movie.
Okay.
You know, something along those lines.
Okay. So Dead Man's doing all this silly stuff, just trying to
He just interjects himself, like, randomly in the middle, because he just can't hold it back anymore when they're talking. You know what I mean? Something like that. You get a few minutes of him just being obviously ridiculous, and then he just interjects himself.
Maybe he's impressed when he finds out that Diana's, like, a god.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? He thinks that's really cool or something.
Yeah.
And then that's where Zatanna basically has to say, like, all right, well, we need to go meet... You know, we still have to bring in Constantine and Swamp Thing. So how do we want to do that?
Well, now at this point, we can just have them go for help.
Yeah, they could just use the Dark Beeper, which is an offshoot of the Bat Beeper.
Well, that's one thing. Zatanna contacts...
We can have Zatanna be his ex still. Like, there's no reason why she hasn't worked with him before, and maybe he's just staying with Swamp Thing. He's like crashed on Alec Holland's couch all the time.
I don't think Swamp Thing would be a big fan of that. Like, just in general, that he doesn't want to help people. He doesn't like being around people. He wants people to leave his swamp like Shrek.
I like the house that they had in the animated.
Yes,
film.
And I agree with that. So Constantine's house.
Right. Like, what if Zatanna knows how to get there? Right. And so Zatanna's like, all right, so we're on the same side. This is great. But we're going to need more help to get this accomplished.
But at this point, what does Wonder Woman even bring into the team? Like,
she's insanely powerful.
She's an expert on
Greek. But is she? Because Zatanna just shut her down instantly.
She's an expert on Greek mythology.
Okay, Constantine knows everything about everything, basically.
Well, we can't have that, though. That's annoying on screen, right?
It's true.
So she's an expert in Greek mythology, number one. Number two, Black Adam's power set is different than Zatanna's and different than Wonder Woman. So having somebody who is essentially a god who can fly, is incredibly strong, nearly impervious, can't be a bad ally to have.
Right. I'm just trying to think of, this stage, what does she offer?
I think Zatanna tries to get her to leave, right? We got this, we'll take care of it. But Diana would never let that happen. This happened on her watch at her museum, and it's some special artifact that she knows is important. She cares about. So she's coming along. They can try and stop her. Kind of thing.
I mean, okay. Sure.
I mean, I feel like that's in character. She had to do it in her own movie.
Yeah. It's in character. I'm just trying to like make sure that everybody has their strengths shown. And right now, Wonder Woman has no strengths shown. Everybody else is. Which, I mean, it should be to an extent. Because
she
everybody...
was in BVS, so she has shown that she can hold her own against monsters, which just kind of proves how powerful Zatanna is. But it doesn't take away from how powerful Wonder Woman is. And I feel like the two of them together makes, like, a hell of a strong team. So,
and it could have just been that Zatanna catches her off guard. You know, Diana's not used to fighting magic, right? And it's just she wasn't prepared for that. This just woman there just, like, pulls out all these amazing abilities, right? She's not going to get caught again. You know,
and to be fair, Swamp Thing is stronger than pretty much all of them. So, you know, really,
well, that's the problem.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, all of these heroes have weird level sets. They all have versions of them that are ridiculously powerful. I mean, at the end of the day, all we need is the Kingdom Come version of the Flash, and he can do everything. So it doesn't matter, right? But I think Diana's big strength here is her determination, her focus on wanting to get the job done and get justice for what happened. That is her strength. That's what she wants. Whereas, you know, maybe the rest of the group, Zatanna and Deadman, like, they're worried about Black Adam having this really powerful item, but that's really about as far as it goes for them. Whereas Diana is more about the justice involved, what's been wronged, and following that through.
Yeah. Picking up the wreckage, that kind of thing, like repair.
That's why she's, you know, she's one of the founders of the Justice League and not the Dark, because she wants the justice, she wants the future, whereas Justice League Dark is just more focused on the dark magic and the consequences of it. So, thoughts?
I think that probably Zatanna is going to be the best link between Constantine and where they're at now. So she can find, she knows how to get to the house. And that's the route that they should go.
Yeah.
With bringing him in. And then he knows Swamp Thing, you know, much to Swamp Thing's chagrin.
And maybe he rejects him at first, you know?
Oh, I mean, that's pretty much how every Justice League Dark story goes. So.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Zatanna, Constantine, or excuse me, Zatanna, Deadman, and Wonder Woman go to Constantine's house. Constantine is frisky and fun and pissed that they came to his house, but he's happy that Zatanna brought a gift for him. Like, maybe he can even award it that way. So
next up then, so how do we bring Swamp Thing in?
Constantine just says, well, I know a guy.
Right, but to Ryan's point, Swamp Thing usually wants to stay off on his own and not be involved and that type of thing. So how do...
Well, what they did in the animated show or animated movie was they basically like just threatened to hang out on his swamp until he helped them. And so he just helped them to get him out of the... out of his life for the meantime.
Yes.
I also think that we should avoid the one from the animated movie where Swamp Thing is killed. Like, that was such a random, stupid thing.
No, I really don't think we need a big death in the movie. It just seems kind of forced.
Also, that was... Yeah, it seemed forced in that.
Ready? Well, if we did it at this time, even then, it would look as a... It would look as if we're copying Groot sacrificing himself.
Right.
And we don't need to do that. We don't need another a plant life sacrifice.
Right,
right. No, I don't really think there's a good reason to kill anybody off in this one. Like, I get it. You want people to have
emotional...
We're
not even killing off Black Adam.
Right, yeah. Exactly. We don't want to kill anybody off.
Also, so. I'm pretty sure Black Adam could do nothing that would kill Swamp Thing. Like, as powerful as he is... Swamp Thing's a god, a literal god. Like, he's the god of vegetation, basically.
Like, when parts of him gets destroyed, he regenerates, he becomes more.
Yeah, as long as there's any plant life anywhere in the entire universe, he can regenerate, because that's how he works, and it's super overpowered.
Is there anything...
We have to take him out of the fight, essentially, somehow.
If we tone it down a little bit and say that his abilities are really just... More of an Earth 2 thing, where his power...
We can just say that nobody on here is God level. That everybody has some sort of flaws, they all take hits, so it looks serious. So every threat just looks serious.
Well, I was thinking that if Swamp Thing's abilities of the green really only exist on Earth, if we make it an Earth-only thing, then we could have Black Adam use Nobu to throw them into another dimension or something like that, where Swamp Thing can't regenerate and only has what
there
he has.
To be something that cuts Swamp. Okay, yeah. Because Swamp Thing is super powerful in everything.
What if it reverts him back to Alec Holland?
I don't want to completely take him. Okay, I want to see some.
Oh,
like...
okay. So you're talking about for a majority of the film, they're in a different dimension.
Probably. Okay. Let's say Black Adam. They start fighting. Right. Mm-hmm. These two groups with Black Adam. And Black Adam realizes that he's obviously outclassed by the whole group, and so he does what he thinks he needs to do to get an advantage, which is to send them to another dimension where Swamp Thing can't be there to dominate.
So, what if when they first confront him, he hasn't put on the helmet yet? He's been using it as a threat. And then when they finally do, he does, and that's what he does. He sends him to another dimension. And only Madame Xanadu can bring him back, since we haven't introduced her.
Can Zatanna not do that?
I mean, maybe. They're fictional characters. They can do whatever we want them to.
Okay, so when they do that, when they get...
Why is Constantine even here at this point? Because he's done nothing except bring Swamp Thing.
For a great one-liner.
Yeah, exactly.
He's and to hit on Wonder Woman. He's definitely hitting on Wonder Woman.
He's the tone, gift. You know?
Yeah. I love that. Wonder Woman's the gift.
He's definitely hitting on Wonder Woman. He's definitely hitting on Zatanna, even though they're broken up.
I mean, he's got to make some... When they get transported to this other dimension, maybe it's done in a way where they're not immediately with Black Adam, so there's a little bit of downtime.
What you if know, they're all depowered? And that's why they have to do Madame Xanadu.
I like the idea of them fighting Black Adam in this other dimension, though. But they wouldn't be able to do that if they had no powers.
Correct.
Also, I think at this point, Madame Xanadu, introducing her, this, what would be, okay. I would think the end of, or closer to the end of the film would be a little too much.
Then we are going to scratch our Madame Xanadu, because
save her for the sequel.
It's really difficult to find a place for
her.
Hey,
we don't have Etrigan in there either, which hurts my soul, so.
Yeah, we could.
You didn't even cast Etrigan in the first place.
I know.
We could name drop Madame Xanadu, and like Constantine can make some type of like offhanded remark, like if she was here, this wouldn't be a problem kind of thing. You know, because
I love that.
Maybe Zatanna, like,
we already said that, like, old man Kent is sitting in a corner somewhere, and
like Zatanna can get them out, but she's not quite sure how, and she has to like figure out how to do it. It's not
a dead man can go possess Madame Xanadu.
Well, he's stuck in this other dimension, isn't he?
I know, he can't do it.
Yeah,
that's just an idea,
right? And like, you know, Constantine can make some crack about like being out of cigarettes or something like that. Well, he can't buy more.
Well, yeah, he's basically always frustrated, crushing his pack of cigarettes and throwing them on the ground.
Can we do the trick where Zatanna turns him into a bunny? Because I love in the comics when she does that and people don't suspect the bunny.
Yes. So while she's trying to figure out how to get them back and she's getting frustrated because it's taking a while and he's just on her nerves the entire time because he's not patient.
Like exes do.
And then she's just like, all right, screw it. And she turns him into a rabbit.
But what if like... he was able to go to Black Adam at this time and, you know, nobody suspects the rabbit. And then all of a sudden it's the rabbit from Monty Python.
And, like, and it chews off exactly, Black Adam's head?
Not exactly. Not exactly that. I was more going for, you know, that rabbit's dynamite kind of thing.
So the rabbit's going to explode?
No, oh my God, no.
I'm confused.
Like, so, yeah, like, right. So Black Adam just sees this little white fluffy rabbit walking up to him. He's like, oh, that's adorable, man.
That's what Black Adam would definitely do. Yeah.
And then, like, not like zap.
He wouldn't care. He wouldn't care. Like, I don't see him as an animal abuser, but I also don't see him as like, oh, fluffy.
Although, if he's in this alternate dimension, would he be like, did I accidentally transport a rabbit and not Constantine? This seems suspicious.
Alright, so I don't know about that. I don't know how I feel about the attacking rabbit. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, he still has all of his capabilities as the rabbit. She just does it to annoy him. Or if he's hiding out, then he's he requests that she turns him to that if he's like bad with a bookie or something. Like,
gotcha. Okay.
So how about like to make Constantine somewhat relevant in this situation, and Wonder Woman, she's fighting him, whatever, they have still have their powers, and she uses her lasso to, like, tie him up, hold him, and pull him down to Earth, and Constantine, like, comes up and does some, like, arcane symbols and gets him out of the helmet, and then he's no longer, at least Fate, and they're just doing a Black Adam fight at this mm-hmm. point, which, I mean, that power set should be able to take out Black Adam together, I would think.
Yeah. Totally.
So where do
I don't
we
think
want...
we have to choreograph the whole fight.
No, but where do we want this big fight? What should the setting be? What are we looking for here? Because like one of the big problems with the Justice League fight is it's such a generic nothing location that like could have been anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like this should be something either very weird, like yeah. in the other dimension, or something very noticeable.
What if it's Swamp Thing Swamp, but without Swamp Thing?
Why don't they have Swamp Thing?
Because they put them to another dimension. Like, they're in another dimension. I'm saying this dimension is just, like, another universe where Swamp Thing doesn't exist or something. And they're just... I'm trying to think of something that the viewer would be like, oh, okay. Because I've seen that before just recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or if they did it on Krypton. But we didn't see Krypton in the Man of Steel movie, so... Or something that looked like Krypton. So we couldn't really do that, you know? So what places do we have in the DCEU where they would be like, okay...
I mean, when you're dealing with Dr. Fate and Justice League Dark, there's some weird, trippy, dimensional stuff that you can play sure. around with. So you could do kind of like a, what is it in Tiny Toons? Where, you know who I'm talking about, where Dodo's from?
Oh, God, yeah, kind of.
You know, like, yeah. That's just kind of like M.C. Escher, like, weird kind of environment where they have
it
to fight.
It can be very Doctor Strange-like.
I mean, it could be. I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking like just very like planes of existence with weird stuff that, you know, teleports you through in different locations. It's very confusing and disorienting. And that's where they have to fight or something like that. Just something very different, something sure. that the normal Justice League wouldn't have to deal with. You know,
I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't really have any specific ideas for it, but.
Cause I'm just thinking like if it happens on Earth and it's this big of a fight, like, where's Superman?
You're right.
You know? And I don't really want him to show up. Just like, I only want Batman in it for 2 minutes for that flashback exposition. I don't want them as, like, part of it. So I feel like it needs to be somewhere that he can't get to. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that it?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, that we already said we were bringing it to another dimension, so I think that kind of suits.
Yeah, I was hoping we were going to describe this other dimension. Like, is it just nothingness? Is it, or, you know, you didn't like the whole powerless idea, so I was kind of waiting for.
Well, I like the idea of it being separated from the green, so that way Swamp Thing's abilities are muted and he's not as OP as he really is, right? But, like, Zatanna's magic should be...
Well, we separated Swamp Thing. That was the thing. Swamp Thing couldn't come to this other dimension. Or
oh, he's not even there at all.
No. Oh. He's only in the movie enough to get them to whatever
just
thing
to push
they
Black Adam to... far enough.
Right, exactly. Okay. So Black Adam's like, I can't beat this whole group, so I'm going to teleport, you know, or, you know, I don't know, whatever. Go to this other dimension, and then Zatanna can only teleport the ones that are there, because Swamp Thing is essentially every living thing on Earth.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
He can't be teleported.
Okay.
She's not powerful enough.
That's fine. That makes sense. Okay. So we have this big fight in this weird dimensional plane. What happens at the end of the fight? So we don't want to kill off Black Adam.
They kill off Black Adam.
No.
So Wonder Woman stabs him.
So we don't want to kill off Black Adam.
Maybe Zatanna has a spell to depower him, or Constantine, something like that. And
what if he is? What if she finds a way to imprison him? The two of them together between Constantine.
Maybe they send him to the Phantom Zone.
Or
that'd be cool.
What if Dead Man is able to possess Nobu to get the helmet off?
Because Dead Man really hasn't done anything
right.
At this point.
That's a cool idea.
So he's able to possess Nobu inside the helmet, and they are able to get the helmet off of him, which makes him back to normal Black Adam strength level. And between Wonder Woman's physical strength, Constantine's power, and Zatanna's power, they're able to kind of shut him down for the time being. Dead Man is able to open up the dimension, get everybody back into the normal Earth that we are currently in. And now we have to, and we're able to put Black Adam in a sort of prison. But now they're not, now Nobu won't get off of Dead Man.
So that's how we end it?
Or like, we can just wrap this up as, like, two, or... You know, maybe Dead Man is in possession. He's the new Dr. Fate for the moment, Sping, and that creates a different problem.
It would be an interesting moment, right, at the end. So they get him back, and maybe Swamp Thing shows up at the last minute to kind of, like, help them, like, hold Black Adam, right? And then taken care of, and then you're like, hey, thanks, Dead Man, that was great, and you know, call me Dr. Fate, and that's the last that you see of him.
See, I was hoping we were going to end it with, I'm going to form a team from Wonder Woman and asking them to join the team.
I'm good with that.
And obviously Constantine would probably be like, nah,
so,
I'm good.
Okay, so what if it
Swamp Thing would be like, nah, I'm good.
What if it ends in a slightly different way? So Dead Man is Dr. Fate now. And then Black Adam is brought before the United Nations as a criminal of the world. And Lex Luthor is his representation. And Lex states that, you know, he's the leader of his own country, and they should be the ones trying him, not the United Nations. There's no reason for this, blah, blah, blah. So Wonder Woman knows that the combination of Lex Luthor and Black Adam is terrible. So then she says, I think I'm going to form a team. Do you guys want in? And yeah. They're all like,
except Zatanna.
Zatanna can be in our Justice League.
And then we added Zatanna in a good way.
So then for a post-credit scene.
Okay, let's hear your pitch.
You have something?
Yeah, I do, but let's hear your pitch.
Mine was actually going to be fairly simple.
We can have two if they're reasonable. I mean, I feel like two is okay.
I wanted to cut to a subway where a kid's riding the subway. And it's basically the scene from the Shazam trailer where the subway stops. It's in this weird, crazy place. The kid gets out and that's the scene to tease Shazam.
Do you see the lightning bolt on the wizard's chest when he gets out? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm good with that then.
Like kind of shrouded in shadow and you see the lightning bolt and, you know.
Mine was going to be slightly more convoluted. It was going to be basically the Camelot Etrigan scene. And then cut to modern day where you see that he's still alive as Jason Blood. And you see Jason Blood before the demon Etrigan. Okay. And then you also see him.
I like both of those.
In the modern day.
So yours is the post-credit scene. Mine's the mid-credit scene. Because Etrigan's one of my favorite characters in all of DC.
Yeah, but he's great. So he's super unique.
It's so hard to use him, though. Like, you have to have some really good writers to get that.
Right.
You know, that would be fun.
Okay. I think we wrote a really good film. We have to decide what's next. Timeline-wise, we skipped over Suicide Squad. We have Wonder Woman ahead of us as far as the actual real-life DCEU. We have, however, hinted at The Flash, now Etrigan, and Shazam. What comes next?
I don't think Etrigan needs his own movie.
He does not.
So he would be more like a setup for like a side character or, yeah, Justice League Dark 2.
I mean, Shazam, I think Shazam would be a really good one to have next because he looks so much like Black Adam. You could even play into some people thinking maybe he's a bad guy because he uses the same abilities. His suit is very similar. Like, he looks like Black Adam almost.
And we did have two movies back to back so far with Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman had a pretty much leading role throughout this film. So we can chill on her for a little bit too.
Oh no, she's going to be in the Shazam movie.
Well, right. And maybe not physically,
but.
Well, so I think we're going to do Shazam, so I don't want to give too much away here. But I would do Shazam next because I think this is how you can bring Superman back into it as well.
Right. I agree.
Okay.
If you're cool with that.
Absolutely. So Shazam is our next film. I don't want us to forget Suicide Squad. I want us to do it because I think that is easily the worst film in the DCEU. And I'd like to improve upon it at some point.
I mean, we could do it next because it's a one-off.
No. No, I want to do Shazam next. Okay. Like, we just hyped all this up. I want to do Shazam next.
Okay.
And I think it'd be fun to do one before we've actually seen the film, too.
Awesome. So then, like, kind of as a wrap-up, so we did Man of Steel, we did BVS, but BVS went kind of a different direction, so there was no Justice League because we wrote out Flash and Cyborg, and who else did we write out?
We wrote out Aquaman, Flash, and Cyborg.
Thank you, sorry. And then we did this, Justice League Dark, and then next up is Shazam.
Yes.
It's a fun movie slate.
Yeah.
And Derek hasn't even tried to shoehorn Green Lantern in yet, which I'm really surprised about. But
there hasn't been a place for him yet.
No, but you could just do a random Green Lantern solo movie.
But it doesn't fit the flow, right? Like like this flow has made sense. It makes sense to introduce Shazam because you've seen Black Adam.
But did Guardians of the Galaxy make sense where it was introduced in the MCU?
But that's why I'm saying if we wanted to do the one-off Suicide Squad, we could. I'm not sure that this is a good place for Green Lantern.
Fair enough.
So.
Need to have a little bit more character building in the universe before you do something as crazy as Green Lantern.
I just don't think it's set up for it. If we did a Justice League, if we legitimately did Justice League, I would have wanted a Green Lantern involved.
I think all of us would have.
Right. Yeah. But we didn't do that. And there's not really a place for Green Lantern in Justice League Dark, at least not one that's more than 30 seconds, you know, or a reference or something, you know. So we'll just have to see.
Maybe you see one of the rings in Diana's gallery.
I mean, that could be interesting. You know, to do something like that. But, you know, then everyone knows that aliens exist. I guess that people know aliens exist.
They don't know where the ring came from.
That's true. So we'll see. We'll have to see what happens there. So first off, I do want to thank everybody who's been talking to us in the Twitch
chat. Not everybody.
Tonight. Everybody who hasn't been banned.
Yes.
Thank you to all of those people who joined us. Sorry we weren't more talkative to you directly because we were trying to fit in our time frame. We've gone over 3 weeks in a row. So thank you for joining us. Next week, we will be doing our brand new segment called...
I called it Fill in Our Holes, but I don't think Derek or Ryan appreciated that. So basically, we realized as we're planning these podcast topics that we all have huge gaps in our cinephile and cinephile knowledge. So we each are going to pick a movie for us to go back and review. It's kind of a retro review, but movies that are already really good, movies that we love. I chose Hero, the 2004 movie starring Jet Li, Donnie Yen, Ziyi Zhang. So we're going to review that next week. And next month, we're going to do Derek's pick. And the month after will be Ryan's.
And so I will announce what my movie is during next week's episode, probably at the end or whatever.
Sure.
And
are we all going with like Eastern themes?
No.
We're not.
No.
Okay.
Mine is an 80s sci-fi flick.
Okay, well, so, I'm going to go back to an Eastern theme.
You guys do whatever you want. I don't want to, I'm not trying to...
After we watched the movie the other day, he was like, wow, you guys are going to be disappointed in mine.
Mine is kind of fun and lighthearted, and Hero, as you'll find out next week, is a very interesting
Hero's
movie.
Regarded as one of the best martial arts films ever made, and probably the best film using color ever. So
we'll talk about that. So if you haven't seen Hero, you have a week to watch it to catch up with us, and we will see you guys then. Ryan, you are Buster Props.
Yeah, if you like Shazam, come check out our shiz, because we make a lot of cool cosplay stuff, and Shazam has been a big focus for us. So
Ray?
I'm at Siren Ray. I am a cosplayer, model, and all around fucking goofball. I am doing a Kickstarter currently for my pinup calendar. I took 14 different video game characters, turned them into fun pinup costumes.
But Rachel, a calendar only has 12 months.
I know. You get 2 extra months with my Kickstarter.
I don't know why anybody wouldn't support that.
Right? Just throw $5 my way and you get a free digital image just for $5.
Well, it's not free. It's
$5. Well, sorry. You get a digital image for $5.
But it's worth way more than $5, so it might as well be free, if you ask me.
Might as well.
And that's Siren Ray, S-I-R-Y-N-R-A-E.
Like the X-Men, because I love X-Men.
And I am the Star Trek dude. You can find me on the network at Red Shirts and Runabouts, which is our Star Trek show every Friday, so please join me there. You can find me on Twitter as well. We are the Heroes Podcast Network. This is Screen Heroes. You can find us at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and here on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Heroes Podcasts every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, to live chat with us during the show.
Like you all wonderful people did.
Whew! Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
It's Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.